Today's program is brought to you by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest level of veterinary care to pets throughout the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, New York, and surrounding areas since its founding in 2008. For more information, visit brooklyncaresvet.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today's topic is bats. We're speaking with Amanda Lawler, founder and president of Bat World Sanctuary. Amanda is a licensed bat care specialist in the state of Texas, permitted to work with threatened and endangered species. She began her rescue work at the age of 12, starting with a crippled chicken. In 1989, she found an injured bat on a hot Texas sidewalk and nursed it back to health. In the process, this small helpless creature taught Amanda the enchanting language of bats, sparking her love for this remarkable species. Bats are commonly misunderstood and get a bad rap. Amanda will help us to get a better understanding and respect for these animals, as they do more good than harm. Hi, Amanda, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to get started and learn more about bats.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start out with the big question. How many different kinds of species of bats are there?
There's over 1,000. It's kind of varies between 1,000 and 1,200, but 1,000 is about accurate.
Wow, I had no idea.
And yeah, they're all different shapes and sizes and colors.
So which bats are common in North America and in New York State?
The most very common bats in the U.S. are Mexican free-tail bats or Brazilian free-tail bats. Actually, they're common in the lower portion of the U.S. Mm-hmm. and the upper portion, including New York. You've got big browns, little browns. Sadly, are disappearing, but big browns and little browns are the most common.
And why are the little browns disappearing?
Primarily from white nose syndrome, which is similar to honeybee collapse, except it only affects bats. It's a fungus that was brought over from Europe, mm-hmm. probably by a caver on his boots or shoes, and it was introduced to caves in the U.S. And the bats in Europe have a resistance to it, but that bats in the U.S. Or in North America do not. So it's unfortunately killing them very, very quickly, and little browns, it's almost decimated the whole population in the Northeast.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's so sad. So are there bats on every continent?
Every continent but Antarctica.
Okay, that's fair enough. I was thinking about when I wrote the question, I was like, I wonder if there are any down there. I figured it'd be worth asking you. It's like the rare polar bat. They're very fancy and covered in fur.
There you go.
So who are bats related to? What other animals are their cousins?
There's actually no close relation. They're of their own order, which is called Chiroptera,
wow.
which means hand wing,
mm-hmm.
Because their wing is essentially just like a human hand.
Mm-hmm.
They have five fingers and a thumb, just like we do.
Oh, wow.
They've been equated or compared to monkeys as far as their intelligence level goes, and they think that they may have originated prehistorically. They may have started off as being a ground-dwelling animal and then basically just evolved into having wings in order to forage.
Wow. And so are they like ancient creatures like crocodiles?
Yes, definitely. Okay. They've been here for over 50 million years.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so what do bats do?
Well, I guess what don't they do would maybe an easier question to answer. Insectivorous bats, which make up about 70% of all bat species, eat an enormous amount of insects. Each insect-eating bat can eat between 3,000 and 5,000 bugs a night.
Wow.
These are, crop pests, mosquitoes, flying termites, flying mm-hmm. ants, June bugs, beetles, all different kinds of corn borer moths, everything that would decimate our crops if we didn't have them. Fruit bats and bats that pollinate bring us over 400 different commercial products and 80 different medicines, including sisal for rope, all kinds of ingredients that we use in our, well, just regular foods that you find in the store, mangoes, bananas, kiwi, mm-hmm. avocados, almonds, spices like allspice, cosmetics, inks,
wow.
you know, dyes, paper, pulp, gum.
Wow.
Everything that, basically, they control a lot of things that we take for granted. And if we didn't have them to either pollinate the plant that we get a particular product from, or eat insects that protect the plant that we get a product from, or actually just plant the seeds through seed dispersal, mm-hmm. We wouldn't have a lot of the wonderful things that we have in the grocery store.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I did a show on bees recently, and, you know, everyone thinks of honeybees as being like the main pollinators. So the fact mm-hmm. that I knew bats did some pollinating, but I had no idea that they were involved in so much. So
yeah, they do an awful lot, of, and including 80 different medicines that they pollinate plants and disperse the seeds of, you know, different plants and things that we derive medicines from or have a medicinal property. So they're pretty critical. They are critical to our environment, actually. And probably the biggest thing that they do is they help to reforest, or, you know, they're involved in reforestation of the rainforest. 98% of rainforest regrowth comes from seeds that have been spread by fruit bats.
Wow.
So, you know, if we weren't for fruit bats, the rainforest would, you know, where it's being torn down
yeah.
right and left, the rainforest would not, it just wouldn't grow back. And, you know, most people are probably aware that the rainforest is basically the lungs of the earth.
Yeah.
So if we don't have bats doing that, then we're all going to be in deep trouble.
Seriously. So why do you think that bats have gotten such a bad rap over the years and, you know, that people are just terrified of them and they're scary, scary?
Well, I think one of the things is that people don't understand. You know, you always kind of fear what you don't understand.
Yeah.
And of course, Hollywood and, you know, Dracula and all those things have not helped bats at all.
Totally.
And so because they're nocturnal, because they're kind of secretive, they're very shy, that's part of the problem. And then I think the main problem is media and in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Bats are nothing at all like what you would think. They have an intelligence level of a dolphin.
And I'm blown away
no
by
joke.
That.
I do behavioral studies on free tails, and we have discovered that they have 25 different vocalizations that they use to communicate.
Wow.
And researchers have taken my studies and gone on further to discover that they actually use syntax, which means they put different squeaks and squawks and peeps together to form sentences, and the only other mammal on the face of the earth that does that is our humans. So
wow.
That shows you how incredibly intelligent they are. They're extremely clean. They're virtually disease-free. They groom their bodies just like cats all day long.
Mm-hmm.
They're not aggressive. They're playful. They're nurturing to their young. They're, you know, they grieve when one of their roost mates passes away.
Wow.
They're just incredible little animals, and they're nothing whatsoever like anyone has, you know, believes. If you believe in any of the misconceptions, then just wipe the slate clean because they're nothing like that at all.
So are they social? Like, do your bats know you?
I'm sorry?
Are they social with human beings?
Yes, it just depends. I mean, especially orphans that you're hand-raising because they realize that you're a food source. And, you know, any orphan needs nurturing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they grow to expect, you know, and they're affectionate and they're you know, very animated. And
mm-hmm.
They know, they can tell the difference between humans just like a dog can.
Yeah.
You know, they understand touch, smell, you know, sight, all of those things. So they know when a stranger walks into the room, you know, they can also pick up on emotions a lot like a cat does. And
wow.
If people don't like bats, they can tell that right away. Extremely shy and fearful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're very, very intelligent.
I'm blown away by that. I mean, I assumed they were smart, but I had no idea they were this smart. That's
yeah,
so cool.
I mean, they blow me away every day.
And I mean,
even though we've discovered these 25 different vocalizations, I think it's probably more like 100. Those are just the ones we could categorize.
Yeah.
I really think that we've just barely scratched the surface on how intelligent they are.
Mm-hmm. And are you, since you've been working for them for so long, are you able to recognize the different vocalizations so that you're kind of understanding what they're saying at this point?
Oh, yeah. Of the 25, we can tell each one of those has a distinct meaning, mm-hmm. and it some of these vocalizations carry a gesture with them, so that, you know, a physical gesture, so you can tell what it means by that.
That's awesome.
Some of them carry an expression as well as with the vocalization, so you can get a better idea of the meaning. Meaning, there's a territorial buzz, which means this is my property, don't mm-hmm. get any closer. There's a play call that that orphans often do when they're flapping their wings and playing. There's a song that males sing to females to try to attract the female. There's an irritation buzz when they're irritated. They make a little zzz, zzz, and it basically just says, I'm irritated, don't come any closer or I'm going to get a little bit more mad.
Yeah.
And then there's another call that's angry. There's a distress call when they're afraid. You can tell with the different vocalizations, they also have, like I said, the different gestures and facial expressions to go with it.
What a trip.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like, we think we're so special as people, and, you know, we're so unique because of language and expression and all
this. Well, if you work with bats at any time at all, you realize how unspecial you truly are. Not only can they do all that, but they can fly on top of it. So, you know.
It's so true. I mean, it's funny, as I was researching this, because I really don't know anything about bats, and so I was researching questions for you, and it's like, the more I'm learning, the more I'm like, I want to come down there and work for you for a week and see what you do. I'm fascinated by this.
Well, we accept volunteers, so yeah, but you'd be prepared, because these guys will work you to the bone.
Well, I've got experience with, like, cattle and horses and stuff like that, so I think the size of them would be a little disconcerting, because they're so small.
They range in size from, with micro bats, orphans can be as small as a cashew or an almond when they're born, and then, all the way up to bats that are the size of a small dog, when, of course, those are fruit bats. So mm-hmm. they range in sizes significantly, just like dogs do. You've got, little teacup poodles, and which sit in the palm of your hand, and then you've got Great Danes, and it's the same thing with bats. They're
totally
all different shapes and sizes and colors.
Well, I've got to ask you this, because if I don't, everyone's going to kill me. What's the deal with vampire bats? Like, what's the story with them? Are they real?
There's out of the 1,000 different species, only 3 are vampires, and they're all limited to Latin America.
Okay.
They're about the size of a hamster or slightly smaller. They're extremely shy.
Oh, well, that's not exciting.
You could stomp your foot and go boo, and one would go flying away. It would be petrified. They don't attack people. They get their blood meals from chickens and, sleeping animals like cows and mm-hmm. sheep. They basically go up lap or lick the area mm-hmm. where they're going to take a small nick with their teeth. They lick the area first because there's actually an anesthetic in their saliva that deadens the area.
That's awesome.
And then they take a quick nip with their teeth, just one little sharp flick, mm-hmm. and then a little bit of blood drips out, and they just, drink about a teaspoon and fly away. When in reality, I know vampire bats are gross to most people, but when you look at the big picture, there's animals who kill the entire animal
totally.
For its meal.
Totally.
And vampire bats just borrow a little bit. They don't kill anything. They're very they're extremely social. They're altruistic. They actually will share a blood meal with a sick roostmate.
Wow.
I mean, they're fascinating, but they're kind of like a parasite as well, like a tick or a flea. Most people don't care for those and don't care for vampires either. But in the grand scheme, they're not as big as animals that are true predators.
So, I mean, vampire bats are not, human size and are not going to drain you, your pets, or anything else. You don't need to worry about that.
No, absolutely not.
You kind of killed me on the hamster size. I really was expecting larger than that. It kind of, like, really takes the fear out of the animal.
And like I said, they're extremely shy. There was a researcher that was in South America, and he was filming vampire bats, and he was trying to actually entice them to come and bite his ankle so he could do some filming.
Yeah.
And all he'd have to do is wiggle his toe, and they were petrified. They'd fly right away.
Aww. Poor little things. I mean, it's like, who thought that vampire bats would be, like, shy and sweet, It's
Yeah.
Wow, we got to really change the way that people are thinking about these guys, because they're incredible.
We, Yeah, we do, because, I mean, bats control, well, they make up one quarter of all mammal species. And if it takes one quarter of all mammals on Earth to keep this planet in sync, a full one quarter of those are bats, and if we lose them, what's going to happen to the planet?
Yeah.
I mean, they do control an awful lot, and whether we like them or not, they're critical. We have to have them.
Yeah.
You know, the thing to remember is that just like any other animal, like a raccoon or a skunk, a coyote, fox, dog, cat, any wild animal in particular can carry rabies, and bats are no exception. They don't all have it,
okay,
but they can contract it just like any other mammal. They actually contract rabies less than foxes, skunks, and raccoons. They come in fifth on the list of wild animals that do contract it. The big problem is that most people, when they see a bat on the ground, they think, oh, it's helpless, it's tiny, it can't hurt me if I pick it up,
mm-hmm,
when the exact opposite is true. You know, the smaller the animal, the more it's going to be afraid,
yeah,
and the smaller the animal, the sharper the teeth.
Yep.
So the last thing you want to do is pick up an injured bat you find on the ground. You need to use a glove, a cloth, a towel,
mm-hmm,
something like that. You know, you do want to try to save it, because it could be a bat that's been attacked by a blue jay, which actually happens,
oh,
quite often. We have a list of rescues on our website.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go to batworld.org and click on Found a Bat, you've got instant help.
That's awesome.
And, you know, the thing is, just be smart. Don't touch it with bare hands. If you wouldn't rescue a raccoon with bare hands,
yeah,
you wouldn't want to rescue a bat with bare hands, no matter how tiny it is. And the big problem is that more people have seen grounded bats and rescued them with bare hands and got you know, become bitten,
yep,
and then not sought treatment for the bite.
Yep.
And, of course, if the bat has rabies, and, you know, if a person contracts rabies as well, then it's deadly. So because of that, because more people do pick up bats with bare hands,
yeah,
then more people do contract bat rabies, you know, from bats, and that's where this big rabies hysteria comes in, when in reality they don't contract rabies any more often than any other animal. You just have to use your common sense and don't use bare hands to rescue one.
I'm shocked, because, I mean, you always hear bats, rabies, and, you know, I was going to ask you about that and see if, you know, I just assumed that they would be major carriers, because it's a huge fear that people have when they see bats. It's always like, oh no, rabies, you know, so.
Well, in reality, bats actually have properties that, you know, they have antiviral properties. They just carry those naturally in their,
mm-hmm,
bodies, and so most bats are disease resistant.
Wow.
Even, you know, right now there's a big, you know, fear of Ebola, bats carrying,
yeah,
Ebola.
Yeah.
Well, they can incubate, and they can actually harbor Ebola without getting sick,
mm-hmm,
because they're disease resistant. And in Africa right now, bats are being consumed by, you know, the local,
yeah,
people,
yeah,
and they're getting Ebola.
Oh,
well,
God,
don't eat bats,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that simple. You just don't, there's certain things you just shouldn't do, like pick up a bat barehanded or eat one.
Totally.
So, you know, you just have to, again, use common sense.
Totally. Well, Amanda, we need to take a break for station identification. I'm talking to Amanda Lawler, bat expert from Texas. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Animal Instinct is brought to you today by Brooklyn Cares Veterinary Clinic. Since 2008, Brooklyn Cares has been providing exceptional veterinary care to pets throughout Brooklyn, New York. Led by doctors Timothy Mann and Stephanie Liff, the practice advocates a gentle, holistic approach to caring for your pet and offers an impressive breadth of basic and advanced healthcare services for your dog or cat. This modern practice, conveniently located in the Clinton Hill neighborhood of Brooklyn, is fully equipped with state-of-the-art equipment to ensure that your pet receives the highest quality care, regardless of whether they're sick or injured, or simply visiting for annual wellness checkup. For more information, visit BrooklynCaresVet.com.
So welcome back to Animal Instinct. I'm Celia. I'm talking to Amanda Lawler, bat expert. And Amanda, I'd love to ask you some questions. I got some really, really interesting questions for you, and I want to make sure,
okay,
we have time for them.
All right.
All right. You've probably heard this 10,000 times, but I don't know the answer, and I want to know. So Stacy,
okay,
wants to know, why do bats sleep upside down?
Mainly to avoid predators. Just, you know, in the wild, animals have two ways of defense, fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
Bats are not aggressive, so they take flight immediately. And the best thing they can do is if danger approaches, all they have to do is let go with their feet, and they're instantly airborne and flying away.
Cool. Here's the most random question. I'm hoping you've gotten this before. I've never heard this before. I had someone ask me, they wanted to know that they had heard that bat guano is edible.
I wouldn't eat it.
I wouldn't either. Just thought I'd ask.
I mean, I guess in reality, anything is edible, but
True. But
should you? And I mean, I wouldn't eat bird poop or anything like that. So, no, absolutely not. I think that would be kind of icky.
That would be a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, Cynthia asks, she has a bat house and has followed directions to hang it high facing a certain direction, but 2 years and no bats. Do you have any tips on how to get bats into her bat house?
We have a page on our website called Bat House Information.
Okay.
And she might go there and just do a checklist to see if her house has all of the things it needs to have
mm-hmm.
in order to attract bats. One of the problems with bat houses is they're made by people who know a lot about marketing and nothing about bats.
Mm.
So it has to have, footholds on the inside.
Uh-huh.
It has to have ventilation. There's a lot of things that bats, need in order to, for the house to be comfortable and for them to feel protected and safe inside. So I would go to the website, compare, what the criteria is with the page that she has,
mm-hmm.
and also visit Lone Star Woodcraft because they have houses that are proven to work.
Nice.
And she might be able to modify her house according to what Lone Star Woodcraft has on their site. And we have a direct link on the Bat House Information page on our site.
It's nice to hear that someone's doing them correctly at least, so you don't have to make them from scratch.
Oh, yeah. And we have free plans, too, if she needs those.
Oh,
on our
cool.
site.
All right. Karen wants to know, what are bats doing at dusk when they fly in circles?
They're probably either orienting themselves to their surroundings. They could actually be playing or foraging for insects. It just depends on every situation is a little bit different. For instance, around streetlights, bats will actually forage in cliques, in small groups of maybe, 15 to 20, and they will find a bunch of bugs that are concentrated around a streetlight, and they'll form a circle around the bugs, and they'll start flying into a smaller and smaller circle, so the insects are more concentrated,
cool.
and then they'll all just dive in. So there's a variety of reasons why they could be flying in a circle.
And then where do bats generally sleep?
They sleep in trees, under the bark of old trees, also in the leaves, like a cluster of leaves. Some bats are they're oranges and reds and golds, and they're colored to look like a dried leaf, and they'll hang from one leg, so they look like a leaf hanging from a stem. There's bats that roost in caves, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Under the eaves of homes, in bat houses, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And, in attics and even in basements, under bridges. There's two different types of bats. And there's crevice bats, which like to roost in small cracks and crevices. And
mm-hmm.
then there's tree bats, and they roost out in the open on the branches of trees.
Wow. And then she's in California, so she's got mm-hmm. eucalyptus trees and she's got pepper trees. And she wanted to know if you know if they prefer one over the other.
I don't really know. I don't think anybody really knows what kind of trees they actually prefer.
Mm-hmm.
As long, they love old forested areas where the trees have a lot of dense foliage as well as loose bark, pieces of bark that are
mm-hmm.
kind of coming off so they can slide up under that and take shelter. As far as one over the other, I have no idea.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. And then she also wants to know where bats generally hang out so that she doesn't accidentally hurt them, because she has a farm as well.
They're not going to – I don't think they're going to hang out in any area where they're going to accidentally get hurt by a human or
right. –
And in contact with a human. Anytime you find a bat out in the open, as a matter of fact, there is something wrong.
Okay.
Unless it's hanging from the branch of a tree up high,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. But if you find a bat, that's isolated and down low on the ground or low on a tree, then something's probably wrong. It could be hurt or injured or an orphan. So that's when you could use our found a bat page or tab on our website. But yeah, I don't think that's going to be a concern, because bats generally stay hidden and they stay way up high.
Yeah, I've never seen one in the daytime ever.
Yeah.
I actually had a childhood friend a million years ago who picked up a bat barehanded, thought it was a bird. Like the story you told was exactly her, except she wound up getting all the rabies shots in her stomach.
They don't do that anymore, by the way.
Thank
it's all
God.
In the arm, so
thank
it's not
God.
Near as bad as it used to be.
Poor thing, had 14 shots in her belly at the age of like 6 or something horrible.
Oh.
I was like, terrible.
No fun.
Not at all. I mean, it's horrible. I'm squirming thinking about it. I'm so bad with needles. It's terrible. So then I have a question. If Is it a bad thing to have bats living in your eaves or in your roof of your home?
It depends. Of course, you don't want to share your actual living quarters with any wild animal.
Yeah.
You know, they need to have their space and you have yours, which is why bat houses are great. Under the eaves of your house, that's not a problem. Actually in Scotland and Ireland, if a bat moves in, or in the UK, I should say, if a bat moves into your attic or under the eaves of your home, it's considered good luck, and their real estate value actually goes up.
Nice.
On that piece of property because they value the insect control the bats provide. But, it's not unless it's a problem for you.
Yeah.
And they're not as long as they're entering the actual living quarters. A lot of people who have bat houses or bats under the eaves will put like a flower bed underneath where the guano falls.
That's
because guano is a great fertilizer and it'll help those plants grow a little bit.
That sounds like a great idea. I love that. So let's talk about human impact on bats, because I'm assuming that we're their worst predator.
Yeah, I would say we're their worst enemy. We tear down their habitat to build our own, and then they don't have any choice but to try to use our habitat, like our eaves or behind our shutters, and so we kill them for that.
Yeah.
There's pesticides. We spray pesticides into the air. They fly through that, and of course they end up with pesticide poisoning.
Yeah.
Pesticides runs off into streams and rivers, and they drink that and end up with getting toxins from that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't understand bats, and they reproduce so slowly. One bat usually takes that bat 5 years to reproduce, and they only have most 90% of the species that are out there only have one baby per year. So they don't, their numbers can't come back as quickly as say a mouse or something like that, because they do reproduce so slowly, and they're exceptionally long lived. Bats can live anywhere from, well, the longest lived bat was 42 years old, and
what?
He was found in the UK. The average lifespan for a bat is 15 to 25 years.
Oh my God, I was expecting you to say 7. Wow.
No, and we're talking, the bat that was found in the UK is a Myotis. That's one of the smaller species. The body length is probably about an inch long.
Oh.
And they had banded that bat 42 years prior to
that,
and found him, 42 years later. And, of course, when they banded him, he was already an adult. So there's no telling how old that bat really is. But that's the record, and that was found, I think he was found about 8 or 9 years ago. Of course, they released him right away. I don't know if they've, tracked him since then, but they're phenomenal little creatures, and they need our help. So we're their worst enemy with all of the things we do to the planet. Of course, we're a lot of animals' worst enemy in that respect.
Yeah, I know, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, the best thing we can do is try to understand them, try to spread the good word, not pick one up if we find one on the ground. I mean, don't use bare hands, but do try to help and save it. Put up bat houses and just go to our website and learn more, and that'll hopefully open up people's eyes. We have a Facebook page where we share photos every day and answer questions. We're pretty active there.
We're very family friendly,
so kids can get on there too. And, we try to teach, educate as much as we can through Facebook.
Yeah, I love your Facebook page, and I love your website. It's so complete, and there's so much information on. I mean, I know how hard it is to keep websites up and getting all that information.
Yeah.
It's so, like, you guys did a beautiful job. So if anyone does have questions, like, you need to look up Amanda's website, which is batworldsanctuary.org. Is that right?
No, it's actually batworld.org.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I knew that.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I do have to throw this in because since you mentioned batworldsanctuary.org, I have a cyber stalker, and she did buy that domain.
Oh, Lord.
And she has, so please don't visit batworldsanctuary.org, because we did sue her, and I did sue her, and I won a $6.1 million judgment that we'll probably never collect, but it does go to show you the extent of damage that she is trying to inflict on me as well as my organization. So please just visit batworld.org.
Yep.
No sanctuary on that.
Okay, so batworld.org, that's it. That's all you need to know on that. And then, Amanda, what is your favorite thing about working with bats and rescuing them?
My favorite thing, I guess, in general would just be learning something new every day, because every single day they teach me something new. And then the favorite, I guess, part of it is rescuing a bat that was doomed to die and then rehabilitating it and setting it free again. That's the most rewarding aspect of all of it.
Do you ever have any, like, this is insane, this question. Do you have any, like, born-free moments where you let a bat go and then they come back and visit or anything like that?
No, not yet, but we do have a wild sanctuary, and we rescue orphans from there every year because hawks and owls attack mothers, and so, you know, the babies are starving, and we can recognize an orphan and bring it in and release it. And because this is protected location and they can fly around free inside, and we clean it every day and check it every day. We have had bats that have circled really close and acted like they're trying to get our attention, and I think it could be some of the orphans that we've released. I mean, they're completely capable of recognizing someone, you know, after not seeing them for years. That's been proven with fruit bats. So I have no doubt that insectivorous bats, the ones that I do the behavioral studies on anyway, I have no doubt that they couldn't do the same thing. We just don't have any concrete proof that it was the exact same bat.
Exactly. Is that Stanley? I don't know. I can't tell. Yeah.
He's flying too fast.
And so how many bats do you think you guys have helped out since you started?
Gosh, I don't know. I probably... well, if you wanted to do worldwide rescues where we help through emails.
Absolutely.
As well as, because we do get a lot of emails in and photos from around the world every day. There's two or three people there, and then not just that, as well as the hands-on. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to count all of them, I'd say maybe about 10,000.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's
it's been
awesome.
A lot of work, but it's been really, really well rewarding and you know, it's a labor of love.
It's so fun. I mean, I feel like you're an old friend. It's like, I'm so proud of you, Amanda. That's so fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I love what you do. I really, really appreciate that what you've been able to teach all of us. I've always dug bats, but I have a much, much deeper respect for them now after talking to you.
Oh, I'm so happy about to hear that. That's awesome.
Well, you know what's really cool, too, is that my in-laws live upstate, and they have a couple bats that come out at sunset. And I've been watching, I assumed it was a different bat every year, but every night at sunset in the summer, they come out, and they kind of do the same little dance and the same little flight path. So I've always thought, gee, what a coincidence. But now that I know that it might be the same bat, it's like, yay, he's back. He's visiting, you know?
Oh, so it probably is, because they're very territorial. They're extremely territorial, and they're extremely loyal, you know, to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt that it's the same bat.
And that's so cool, because, I mean, I really thought that they had a two-, three-year lifespan. I mean, I had no idea about any of these guys at all. I mean, at one point, researching them, I was like, you know, are these guys related to mice? Like, you know, and then the whole flying mouse, that whole thing. But you really taught us all so much. I want to say thank you so much. Please give me your website again and give me any sites that you love or any numbers that if anyone has any questions, they can get some more information, please.
Okay, awesome. Our website is batworld.org, and our Facebook page is, of course, just Facebook.com/batworld.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a contact us page if anybody needs any questions or has any questions or things like that. But please don't use that if you found a bat. Please use the locate a rescuer page instead to call someone in your area, which is all provided there. But our phone number, if anyone needs to call, is 940-325-3404.
Awesome. Awesome. Amanda, you're the best. This was so much fun. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time, too.
Thank you. And I hope you have continued success with the saving bats, and please save them all for us. And I'm telling you, if I come to Texas, girl, I'm looking you up. I'm going to be working at your place
okay.
for a week.
Just feel free to give us a call.
That sounds great. Thank you so
great.
Much.
Thank you. You have a great day. Thanks again.
You too. I'm Celia Kutcher. I'm the Food Healer. This is Animal Instinct. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.